Diary, Working the Cities. Circa December 18, 1909. Since I have returned from labor, including my stay at Washington, I have had a forcible experience. I tarried a short time at Philadelphia, spoke to the people twice in tents several miles from each other. The Lord gave me strength, especially in occupying these tents to speak to many that were not in the faith. They were most serious and earnest listeners. Since that time, I have had a considerable burden, sometimes too great almost to bear. In my bed, I have been unable to sleep, uplifting my heart to God in prayer. These great cities are to be worked. I cannot call to mind the number of the inhabitants of this one city as I prayed to the Lord Jesus to send out men as missionaries to work in these cities. I have had the deep impression that Baltimore and Washington, at the capital, should now be worked. I know that the way must be prepared now, just now, to present the truth without delay. There are men and women in Battle Creek who should be in these large cities at work. Commit yourselves to the Lord, and if there is not money in the treasury, make a beginning in a small way. You cannot spend thousands of dollars in a big way at once, but you can begin united efforts in many places, several working in the best way, and then add to your forces. This evangelistic work will go forth as a lamp that burneth. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. God would have his figure, the work to create buildings and the cultivation of the soil for the producing of crops, represent the work he requires the ministry to perform. The farmer prepares the ground for the reception of the seed, properly puts in the seed, and carefully looks to protect the growing crops. Everything man does is essential, but God alone can give the harvest. He gives life to the seed, gives the earth the warmth of sunshine, the refreshing showers, and all these varieties of help, with man doing his appointed work. Ye are laborers together with God. Verse 9. Now the Lord calls for men and women who understand the truth to work in their various lines to do their appointed work in this world, with many gifts being blended in harmonious action, all interested to unite their various capabilities. All the ministerial work and the various branches of the labor must be carried on in a moral, elevated, abiding sense of the power each draws from the source of all power. We need not lean on human props. When will men whom God hath chosen and called depend wholly on God's special grace to impart to them? The result of asking and depending so much on human minds has hindered a large work being accomplished, because men are so inclined that if others do not carry out their own individual supposed wisdom, it is their privilege to forbid. This keeps men under men's ideas, and they do not cast their helpless souls on God. A weakness that dishonors God is brought in that will never be overcome. The word of man is as uncertain as himself. Men who will go forth to do a work for the Lord in a humble, Christ-like way bear with them the divine credentials. They do no uncertain work. The work God will have done years ago is not done. Let them go forth as evangelists. Wherever you can find opportunity, step in, humble, yet believing, trusting, praying, and looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. Begin to open the scriptures, and ever keep humble and meek and lowly, and the reward will be the divine definition of conversion. It is turning from their idols to the scriptures of truth. There will be many conversions, the surrendering of their souls to God. They leave the objects which have ruled their hearts to accept the divine truth. Their hearts and minds are commanded by the Spirit of God. With the teachers, they are to trust in God, and He will strengthen them for duties, giving them energy through the quickening influences of His Holy Spirit. They are not to do any half and half work. There must be companies that shall be united to go forth and to do the very work that needs to be done, having ministers who can lead out with them. Appoint members who have volunteered to take up the work in the name of the Lord.
At this time, there is a dearth of means. But let the leading minister find his field, and as surely as he shall speak the words of life, some will be interested. The word of God will be brought home to souls through the Holy Spirit's power. The Apostle Paul writes, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 5-10. From the light given me, there is a work to be done. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1-8. Read also verses 9-13. I am to testify, a change must come decidedly to our ministers and to the presidents of our conference. They must wake up and work most earnestly. I testify that a change must come over our ministers and over our physicians. There must be the unity of the Spirit to harmonize, and strength must be imparted to all who are working to advance the cause of God. This shall be not only in Nashville, but in and with all who shall truly feel that they are God's servants, to minister in the most decided, demonstrated manner through the Holy Spirit's striving in human hearts. All other work is of human agencies and will be of no value in accomplishing the groundwork in the power of the Spirit in the conversion of souls. The light is too much under a bushel. All the work needs a new power. The results produced by human energy are not of value without the Holy Spirit. And if these things shall remain much longer as they now exist, many poor souls will be deceived. Workmen will be puffed up in various lines, and the self will be magnified. Poor souls, having a false showing under false influences, are deceived and led into false positions and false professions. We need to go to the root of the working out of principles after God's way, and not the ways of poor, finite man. The apostles had no need to go over the recital of their experiences. The work appeared in distinct lines beyond all question. It is not Paul, Apollos, or Cephas that men are to tie to, but God himself, who through working upon human hearts presents results that are deep, thorough, and substantial. Work through the Holy Spirit was manifested. The seed was planted in good ground and took root and brought fruit in abundance. There is to be a departure from the old channels and regular lines now. The third angel's message is to go as a lamp that burneth. The testimony is, ye turned from idols to God. See 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9. Every man who is taught of God needs to have a humble spirit and become meek and lowly in heart. If we expect to convince unbelievers, we must show results much more clearly in and through the Holy Spirit's influence. Men must see the good works of believers. All contention and dissension will cease when the sanctifying grace of God pervades the soul, being turned away from idols and turned to God. There may be gifts that have come to us of value or investments realized. It is your right to turn from these idols, whatever character they may be, and invest in the Lord's cause. If any man has valuable things, if possible, turn them into money. Do not carry them upon your person. Turn your idols into means to set in operation the blessed work of soul saving.
Christ has given every individual who would be denominated as the chosen of God an example in order to save our souls. He calls upon us to make self-sacrifice as he himself, the Prince of Life, has made. This is the principle Christ, the Prince of Life, has given to us in order to save our souls, that we can come in his name into the presence of God and plead the merits of the blood of the Son of God. Its fragrance, its value presented to God is fully acceptable. Finite, man, has the privilege of making sacrifice of his idols and through turning to the living God, teach other souls. What saith the Lord Jesus, whom God gave to the world? He that will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Mark 8, verse 34. These are the terms of his discipleship. This gives evidence of true conversion if they do this from the heart. The blood of Jesus, with all the fragrance of his excellent name, will bring the self-sacrificing, believing souls into close relationship with him. He shares with us all he has, and will we share with him all our precious things and become identified with him? Consider that tender sermon prayer of Christ. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. John 17, verse 7 to 20.
that takes in us also. Thank the Lord, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. John 17, verse 21 to 23. Oh, what privileges are granted to everyone who shall comply with the conditions to be thus blended in Christ Jesus, as his life is one with the Father. Who then shall be able to separate the believers to reach a lower standard than is here outlined? All the strife, all the dissension, is directly of the devil to spoil the individual souls, so that they become like Satan, the accusers of their brethren. This calls for a thorough conversion. All strife, all dissension may be avoided if the soul has become a partaker of the divine nature and escaped all the corruption that is in the world through lust. If the human agencies draw apart and hate and express their wicked heart enmity, that soul is not converted. He is on Satan's side, under his black banner of dissension and strife. All this must cease in the human mind and heart. This request of Christ in that last prayer is wonderful, and there is expressed all that is possible to be comprehended. Here is the great and precious gift of God, unity with Christ. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. John 17, verse 23 to 26. Can any of the human family conceive anything more decidedly full and expressive than these words? It is then possible for each human being to be thoroughly identified with Christ, the Son of God. Every truly converted soul shares in the same love of Christ and of one another that Christ presents to us that he has with the Father. His people are to be endowed with his divine nature through their true conversion, that they will then share in the love of the Father as Christ has that love. This is so expressed in character that it is decidedly expressed to the world. Oh, what an evidence is then given to the world that God has sent his Son into the world, that the world, through him, if they might receive him and believe in him, may be saved. This has been presented to me in such a decided representation that language cannot express this great love. All who are changed indeed are brought into sacred nearness and fellowship in true conversion. The Holy Spirit will be so manifest that all selfishness will be overcome. No one will be fearful that, if he unites in labor with another, he will fail to stand out as prominently as he desires. The word was spoken by the angel, blend. Blend. Union is your strength. The sense of the marvelous mercy and love will be reflected through believers. Now I resolve to try to impress this upon the minds of all, by pen and voice, that we may no more be so blinded and abused by Satan, but that our perception becomes pure and so sanctified that we may no longer become partakers of the satanic attributes to hurt one another by thought, by spirit, by words or by deeds. If they will appreciate that prayer of Christ, everyone will be individually transformed in every sense of the word and dismiss those sentiments of selfish self-love to seek to be first and have honor as first, hankering for distinction. Sentiments of evil in speech creates suppositions in minds of those who profess to be Christians that are unkind, unjust, and cruel. Why should we consent to be accusers of the brethren like the devil? I am instructed and deeply impressed that there must be a decided change in our thoughts, our plans, our speech, and all our association with each other, in our treatment of our brethren. We are to be united and a strength and blessing to one another. When we will make room in our heart for love in the place of hatred, angels of God will be at work to transform the perverse, warped, selfish character, and exhibitions will be made of entirely an opposite character from that which is now manifested. As the state of things now are, many pray but do not make the effort to expel the evils out of their heart and dismiss the envy, evil surmises, and hatred. Never, never open the door of the heart to these things again, which grieve the Holy Spirit, which invite the temptations of Satan. The large number of church members are not careful to answer their own prayers by themselves doing that which the Word has plainly specified they should do. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Ephesians 1, verse 15 to 20. Trying times are right upon us. We are even in them now, and yet our professed believers are addressed in the revelation Christ made to John. Revelation 3, verse 2, 3, 14 to 21. This is the state of many of our churches today. I have this message to bear. Notwithstanding the appeals made, the representations given, the changes are not made that will bring the churches who know the faith to see and feel what they must do individually, acting their part for their soul's sake, to heed the counsel of Jesus Christ. Be zealous and repent. Verse 19. Read, heed it, and change your attitude. Never give rest to your souls until you humble yourselves before God and exercise that repentance that needeth not to be repented of. When you will come, consider that God is in earnest with us. Then they will be zealous and repent. There will be such a transformation in their spiritual awakening that they will have found him who is light and life, and their hearts will be all aglow with the love of Jesus Christ. The truth has been lost to some who are ministers of the gospel, and they will continue to be deceived unless they are changed in heart and perception. A company was presented before me, and the words were spoken by one who was a messenger from heaven. The words spoken were of a character that startled the ones in that assembly. Those who have changed their faith will, unless they heed the note of warning, continue to see that which is false light, that which is leading in false paths. But they have not heeded the warning God has sent them, and we must now make most earnest efforts to awaken unbelievers. We are not to give our whole time to convince a small portion in one location. The Lord calls ministers and teachers. Go out to places where the truth has scarcely been touched. Go forth to the cities that have scarcely been touched and proclaim the message of truth. Bible readings are to be given. Souls are perishing in their sins. Proclaim to the cities the truth. God will give you souls, for there are hearts that are deeply troubled. Members of large churches are hungering for the bread of life. Let ministers take their helpers and go forth. God will make them fishers of men. This will give the church members at home something to do. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Isaiah 58, verse 1.